Thanks, Veronica. Actually, don't believe anything in that bio unless it has a badge associated with it. And I think only one of those things has a badge, so I don't believe any of it. But thank you for joining me and for spreading out nicely and evenly across the room so I can be sure to get good tennis neck by the time we're done. But the people online, welcome to you. You have the best view because you're looking at the video and the slides right next to each other, so that's good. Better view than me, for that matter. So today's topic is giving credit where credit is due. It's perhaps a session for anyone who considers themselves an underdog or likes to keep their eye out for people who deserve credit in the world, but may not always know exactly how or you would actually go ahead and give people the credit that they've earned. I know that in our higher ed world, the word credit has a very specific notion, and perhaps some of the things I'll say today will challenge that, and that's perfectly okay. I actually would really like to hear if you are feeling challenged by anything I say here today. I am going to draw, by the way, on experiences from outside of higher ed as well as inside of the education world, because I think there's a lot of interesting things that we can learn when we see what people are doing who are outside of our and off our campuses trying to recognize and give credit. By the way, just one other quick note, this is my cell number. And I have my phone up here, so for those of you who would like to text me during the presentation, I encourage you to do that. I'll keep my eye on it periodically, and if I miss any of your questions, I will text you back at 2 a.m. tonight. So, no, I will. I won't do that, I promise. But I would really like to hear your questions, so feel free to let me know as you have them. Really quickly, how many of you went to Kyle and Carla's badging presentation earlier today on open badges and Purdue's badging system? More than a handful of the people here. That's good to know, so I won't spend too much time, but just to make sure we're all caught up, I just wanted to make sure we all know essentially the same things when I talk about badges, what we're talking about, and also, this is the part where I start speeding up, so if I'm starting to talk too fast for anyone, let me know. And what do you think about badges, which is another piece of that's important, because you might know exactly what they are, but have some very strong opinions about what they should be or shouldn't be, or the role they play in your own life. So anyway, can I just have somebody shout out something they know about badges, something concrete about when we talk about digital badges? Anybody? Don't look away when I look at you. Evidence, some sort of connection to something that actually happened to prove it. Anything else that we know about badges? What was that? Granularity, that we can sort of slice and dice the learning experience into a few pieces. Anything else? I was hoping you'd answer them in the order I had these bullets so I wouldn't have to go through them, but I think you pretty much got it. So as visual representations with a click through to evidence, which came from the north side of the room. I have no idea if that's north, but it seems north. It can be earned for granular things, as Carson pointed out. The other thing I think that's very important is that badges are meant to observe achievement or recognize achievement that can happen anywhere, not just in a classroom, although in a classroom is certainly a good place to give a badge, but badges can recognize learning throughout our lives. And I think that's one of the most important things that's attracted me to the whole area of badging, especially as I've been working with groups, whether they be second chance high school students who life intervened in ways they didn't necessarily expect, and they're back at school, and yet they're college-age kids trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives and get a high school diploma, and somehow the notion of taking just another course isn't exactly what got them where they were at that so far, so maybe it's time to try something new and actually certify the skills they have so they recognize that everything they do is leading up to a potential job or admission into one of your schools. That's an example, I think, of the kind of power of the granularity that Carson in the front row mentioned, breaking things down and letting people recognize early and often that they have skills and competencies that the world values. What do you think of badges or feel? I have three bullets. You need to get one of them for us to move on. Any immediate reactions to them? They're underestimated. I like that one. Good segue into my talk. They're awesome, but they can come from anywhere. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good or a bad thing? And there are legitimate questions about legitimacy. I added one word to that, but I think that's good. Okay, good. So we all have some different feelings about where they might go. So let's see where this talk leads. One quick programming note. There is, or are, two general kinds of badges in my mind. There's millions of kinds of badges, but there's two. There's one that, and I think the conversation gets conflated a lot when people try to talk about both kinds in the same breath, and I wanted to just separate them out so at least we can toggle between them if we need to, but I'll spend more of my time on the latter kind. I think of one kind of badge as the game mechanic badge. It's the part that tells you how you're doing in real-time progress. These are sometimes siloed badges, as Carla mentioned during her talk earlier today. The audience for these badges are often population you. They're just meant for you to see how you're doing, and maybe somebody who's assessing your work is looking on. An example would be a badge you get for making your first post in a discussion forum in a course. Might be something you want to share, but it's really meant to indicate a sense of progress, a very sort of knee-jerk reaction to something. And then you have these credential badges, like the equivalent of a diploma or completing a course, like the one you get when you finish the University of Wisconsin Stout's course on gaming and assessment. That's a really interesting way. It's a digital credential, and there's a lot that backs it up. I'm not making a value judgment between the two, but I am separating the badges that are really just sort of gold stickers versus the ones that are like gold standards and anywhere in between. They don't have to be gold standards, but that might carry a little bit more weight. The Farmville ones that got us all sick and led to some of the underestimation that we heard about, I think, is one sort of bad thing that happened to badges. So we're going to let those kinds of badges stay in Vegas, I guess. And we're going to focus on these world shareable ones, the ones that at least have the potential or the intent of somebody along the way to want to share these things. Okay, so now back to our program. I think one other thing that's lacking from discussions about badges, although I was pleased, of course, as always, to hear it in Carla and Kyle's talk, because they're the pros when it comes to these things. But I often, when I start a conversation about badges, it's very easy for us just to focus on one part of the equation, and that's the recipient. We think about, I'm handing you, it's the final owner of this badge. It's all about you. But it's not all about you. It's also about the person who's going to see you wearing that around your neck. You're all wearing badges right now. It's also, and it helps people around the hotel know how to interact with you, but it also helps know what kind of role you might play at the conference, whether you're staff or whether you're a speaker or a board member. So the observer role is an important part of the puzzle. What are you going to do because you have this badge, or be able to do because you do? And the other one that often doesn't get as much discussion, in my opinion, is the issuer. What does a badge say about you? The questions about legitimacy go right back to what it is that you're deciding to badge. It's as much a reflection on the issuer as it is on the recipient, and as much a reflection on a recipient who chooses to show a badge that you gave them versus one that they choose not to show that you've given. So at the end of the day, I actually think that you can summarize all of what's interesting and important and intriguing about the future of badges with the word values, because it really has to do with what do you value as somebody who issues badges, what do you value as someone who goes after or chooses, perhaps voluntarily or is surprised by having earned one, and what does it mean as an observer, as someone who's going to choose to recognize someone with the skills or competencies that that badge represents. And so it's really about what do you value in the world. And the other thing that makes me think about is any kind of award ceremony that's out there. So the Oscars are a really easy one to think about. So what are the Oscars' value? Good direction, good acting, big box office hits. Maybe not supposedly big box office, but they value achievement in the motion picture arts. And the Nobel Prizes, what do they value? Achievement, peace, science achievement. And then you have things like the National Building, the U.S. Building Council, right, who gives out the LEED certification. Some of your schools may be proud owners of these seals on some of your buildings that qualify for. So we all have something in the world that we would like to recognize. So my question for you is, both as an issuer or at an institution that issues diplomas, as well as someone who might have a diploma, what does your diploma say about what you value? Either the ones you give or the ones you've earned. I think it's harder to tell from a diploma what it is you value, just from looking at it, then it might be from these award ceremonies, which are more discipline-specific, or even badges, which can be a lot more granular. So if you could give an award for anything, what would it be? That's one good way to think about if you could put a badge on anything, what would it be? In fact, I am eager and already working with some folks, and maybe you'll be included among them, who are using badging the way some people use a column or a blog or a Twitter feed, which is not just to talk about what they feel and think and know, but to identify other people in the world who feel or think about things that they value. What if you could give an award out if you were, let's say, Grammar Girl, for people who had good grammar and made a good case for a particular use of a preposition at the end of a sentence, which apparently there are actually times you can do that, I think. I think that's true. Somebody will correct me, but that would be a good thing to actually give a badge for. So, and by the way, as you think about this question about what you would badge because of what you value, I ask you for bonus points to think about the name for your badges. There's some people in the room. There could be the Carson Awards, the Judes, the Malcolms, the Veronicas. Maybe you'll just call yours the Badgies. I'm sure there will be awards for badge givers coming out. So let's jump to a few examples of people who are, I think, really doing a good job starting to think about how they use badges to indicate what they value in the world. The University of Southern California has a program called the Joint Educational Project, which is a service learning program that's been around for 40 years. In fact, on their website, there's their 40-year badge sitting right there. And one of the things that I really love about service learning is that it is often, you might get credit for the work you do, but the real hardcore work that happens, whether you're at a nursing home or you're at an inner city school, volunteering and learning in the real world, is a lot of the best learning moments are often unrecognized in those spaces. And so one of the things that USC is doing is adding badges for very discrete moments when students who are out in the world doing these community service activities are likely to remember and take away some of the most important lessons that they have. And so they have a set of badges that are things that relate to being checked in, but also reflecting and sharing with the next set of community service students who come through that course the tips and guidance they have for them. So how do you encourage people to scale the impact of the values that you're trying to teach? Another example, I mentioned UW Stout, University of Wisconsin Stout, earlier. They've got that badge I showed you that you get when you finish their four-week program in how to use games in learning and assessment. Mostly it's a mid-career education professionals taking this graduate-level course. But during that four-week period, there are other things that the instructor values, not just that you completed the course and met all of her rubrics and criteria for completion, but she's also got things like the guidance, I think she calls it the advice columnist badge for people who give good advice to others in the course, who help her scale the impact of her not being the only mentor in the experience. She wants to reward others who voluntarily share their knowledge. There's also a good humor badge for people who demonstrate appropriate use of good humor in an online course. I think many of you probably have seen the reverse of that. And what better online environment than a course on gaming to actually value humor, since games are supposed to be fun? So why shouldn't a badge emerge that indicates that? And these are shareable badges that can go out into the real world, and some people might want to show them. There's lots of things you might do at your institution that regard and relate to sharing and recognizing those values, those skills that are important to you, to your department, or to your institution. One of my favorites these days, I'm talking to some folks about how to take their onboarding experiences, the information literacy programs, their academic honesty and academic integrity programs. And those are things that should cut across everything you do in an institution. And shouldn't an instructor be able to look and make sure you took your academic integrity program, you did the orientation, you demonstrated it? And shouldn't other people be able to nominate or endorse you when you really show what it means to actually have academic integrity? Shouldn't you be able to recognize it in others? And so these are the kinds of things. If you actually had to wear a badge that said I had academic honesty in my blood, and actually it showed up in every course you did, it would be pretty ironic if you had to, like, you know, walk out with your tail between your legs because you violated that badge that's so prominently part of your program. Professional development is obviously another really important one. So the Cooper Hewitt, here's an example from outside of education, formal education world, but no stranger to the world of learning. The Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum, which is based in New York but part of the Smithsonian, which we usually think of as being in Washington, is doing a whole range of badges for fashion, arts, design, for people who attend their workshops and their programs. But one of the things I'm most excited about is the thinking that's now happening at Cooper Hewitt about this idea of not only having them be the ones to recognize good design in the world, but to also create a set of badges that anyone in the world can actually give. So let's say design thinking is an important skill, the ability to solve problems using the kind of worldview that designers bring to everyday problems. And what if you could define what the criteria was for being a good design thinker in the world? And what if you could check a little box that would not only turn badges that are earned into shareable experiences, but badges and criteria or quests that you create into shareable learning experiences for others? And that's the kind of thinking that Cooper Hewitt is doing. We're not the only ones in the world who are equipped to recognize good design sense and good design thinking. What if we could outline the criteria and then let others go ahead and share this responsibility with us? They will be the issuer of that badge, the person who decides to recognize it, but the criteria still belong to us. And let the audience decide if indeed the criteria and the evidence matches the description. So that's an interesting way of, I think, flipping how we think about what we can see in the world, and then let people sort of search and start to find these things. So I'm really excited about the idea of breaking what badges do in terms of, on the journey to making things more granular. By the way, I promised you I would look at my cell phone for text messages, but only my colleagues are texting me. That's because none of you wrote down the number? Okay, that's all right. 484-648-0896. I keep looking here, but there's no screen. But this whole idea of on our journey to deconstruct our learning experiences, to kind of reassemble them in more modular or granular ways, I think there's a chance to reinvent the way we're teaching and the opportunities we're putting out. The really fun thing to watch is that as you take higher ed institutions that have instructional design departments that many of you are involved in, lead, you work with faculty trying to think about how to create their courses and their programs, entire philosophies for your institutions around online teaching and learning. And those of you who are here today are interested in, well, how do I start disassembling that apparatus into these little stickers that somehow are going to change the world? Meanwhile, elsewhere, you've got groups that have after-school programs, fitness activities, museums that attract folks who are not in the same space that you are, have never had, oh, there you go, now you're texting me. Okay, just I'll look in a second. Who don't have the same kind of formal and regimented instructional design processes that you do. This is a group here out of, it's a group called HYPE out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. It actually has an association with Muhlenberg College, but it's an after-school program where kids are learning how to use media tools to create documentaries that affect social change in their communities. So here's one where the students actually turned the cameras on their school and their teachers and tried to document and try to get to the bottom of why it was that the graduation rate at their school was so low. And what could they do and how could they work with teachers to improve the graduation rates of their peers. And so they're learning all sorts of skills. And you watch as they take a program which is, you know, an after-school activity, media, technology, and turn it essentially into a site map that determines when you earn a badge. And what you're looking at here are examples of instructional design maps that come out of programs, not in higher ed necessarily, but in places where people are creating a curriculum, for all intents and purposes, a curriculum by which their badges are going to be awarded. And so here you see that some of these get really complex. What kind of steps does somebody need to take before they can actually earn a badge? And what kind of badges roll up into other badges and indicate sort of higher learning? And which of those badges then connect to badges in other courses, which might act as prerequisites or an indication of your ability to be successful in the next experience you choose. The games course I mentioned at UW-Stout has a pretty extensive badge map. There's a lot going on in 4 weeks. And some of these things are automatic, like make 10 posts to the discussion forum that 5 other people respond to, indicates you're a good conversation starter. And other ones are actually very much assessed by peers and mentors and the instructor within the program. But it's funny to see these things because they look so much like your course curriculum and your program descriptions that are describe any of your courses. So while the rest of the world is busy trying to learn what you all know about instructional design and bring some rigor to the process of assessment and evaluating badges, you're all busy trying to take it apart and figure out how do we divide it up and make it more granular. And I think what's really fun is that somewhere in the middle between these two kinds of experiences, the hype program on the lower right and the formal diploma that one might get from one of your institutions, somewhere in the middle we all meet and we've got these badges, which kind of connect the world in a way that I don't think we've really thought about it being connected before, especially when it comes to taking ownership over our own learning. So I'm going to see what you guys are saying about me, like, Jonathan, speed up, or this is really boring, give me more examples. Oh, that's very sweet, thank you. Oh, that's very nice. Somebody's giving me a badge. That's very nice. That's worth interrupting the talk for, and for a glass of water. The reward for the presenter badge is a drink of something other than water, apparently, later. Brings the formal world of education closer to the outside world and vice versa. So I think that's my point. But to me, where it gets really exciting is when you say, okay, now that you're recognizing all this achievement, what are you going to actually do about it? It's really the so what. And that's where that observer part of my Venn diagram from earlier comes into play. I'm encouraging folks, I don't have the answer to it, but I'm trying to make it part of any discussion that I'm a part of when it comes to badges, is can you think about the observer? What would you do as an issuer or as an institution that was involved in giving a badge? What would you do to help the person who earned it benefit in some way from it? Don't assume somebody else will actually come along and make that happen for you. It's good to have at least an idea of your mind about if it's worth badging, it's probably worth somebody noting that you gave a badge. And what would that person be likely to do if they saw that you had earned it? It could be that you qualify for some new learning experience or a raise, some sort of tangible reward. It could be that you get superpowers of some kind. Sometimes those are called responsibilities. But it's okay either way, because sometimes the reward for good work is more work. In fact, here's an example out of, some of you may be familiar with this example. This comes out of the Epstein School, which is a Jewish day school in Atlanta, one of the first K-12 groups working with a group out of New York called Global Kids to implement a badging program. And their badging program actually started as an analog badging program, like the ones you're wearing around your neck. And what they did was they took the core values that their school thinks is most important, cutting across everything, information literacy, fairness, and justice. And they named all of their badges, by the way, after famous Jewish figures who demonstrated those skills, those competencies. So here's the Sergey Brin of Google fame badge on information literacy. And you can see that you have to observe it, do it, recognize it. There are certain things you need to do to show that you've earned this. And when you've produced the evidence of that, you actually earn that, the badge. But the badge actually empowers you to do things like get library access after hours when other kids aren't allowed to go to the library. It gives you special access to the teacher's lounge, I assume, maybe to keep your lunch in the fridge, something I always really wanted to do when I was a kid, but they never let me. So I think that's true. It's funny, that just came to me. I didn't like warm tuna fish sandwiches, and the teachers got to keep their lunch in the refrigerator. So that would have been nice. But here they are, and they get to wear their badges actually on name tags, which they can actually use. And so indeed, the reward for good work is more work. And that was my fifth grade teacher's slogan every time we handed in our math dittos, you know, and you bring it up and he'd grade it and he'd give you another one saying the reward for good work was more work. But that was really, that's what I wanted to hear. It meant you had done well, you had aced it, and you were ready for the next thing. And that reminds me of this. Does anyone know what this is? Honestly, I didn't until I found it on Wikipedia. So anybody? Here's a hint. It's dopamine. That's what dopamine looks like. That's what pleasure is all about, that little molecule. For some of you, I guess there aren't a lot of scientists in the room. It's none of us, apparently. That's not where the pleasure comes from, is seeing the molecule. But for those of you who are familiar with some of the research, neurological research around game design, dopamine is released when we in our brain, and it makes us feel really good, when we have a positive response to something. And one time that happens regularly is when we're right, when we achieve something, when we get an answer correct, when we get a test back with an A on it. It happens when we're playing video games and we level up. There's this rush of dopamine. And it's not enough that it just happens and we feel good. The most important part that I like to point to is that it's important that we be aware of what caused the pleasure to be generated. That sort of feeling, it's like when you're really thirsty and you grab a glass of water, that really great feeling. You knew you were thirsty, and so therefore you felt really good when you had a glass of water. But you have to be aware of what the cause was. And what better way to be aware of the cause than having a badge being right there in front of you, marking the occasion when you've done something well. And that's one of the great things, I think, about badges that are embedded into our experience, is that they offer the opportunity to call attention to things and moments that would otherwise disappear into oblivion without us realizing that they are so important to us as individuals. I also think that we see this a lot in not often enough, when we say thank you to somebody, and we let them know we appreciate their efforts. The handwritten note on a paper, appreciating the effort, if not the grade, is sometimes important to how you react to your learning and your progress. This is somebody's handwritten note. So imagine if you combine those two things. What if you could recognize achievement and say thank you at the same time? I actually, this to me is a really intriguing area for research as well as for exploration. I've been finding in the work we're doing that badges that are accompanied by a personalized message are much more likely to be shared and published by the people who earn them than badges that seem generic or automatically generated. And I think there's a lot to be said. Can any of you think of, and you can just think in your own minds for a moment, or shout it out if you wish, of any times when you knew you weren't even necessarily sure you had done something great, but somebody important, somebody in your life, whether a coach or a teacher or a parent or a friend, actually said, well, you're unstoppable, or that was amazing, man. Or maybe not man, but nobody ever said that to me, but you know, some sort of like nice comment to accompany it. I just saw this happen with one of Carla's colleagues on the Credly site, which is what's hosting the EDUCAUSE badges. And that's the site and system that I've been most focused on. I don't know, I've lost track of time. But one of the things that Doug Belshaw did, and Doug is a member of the Mozilla Open Badges team, is he used Credly to send a badge to someone who had helped him on a book he's writing. He had sort of crowdsourced help with his book, and he took a moment to actually give a badge called Feedback King to a person who had given him very valuable feedback and had taken time out of his own busy schedule to share with Doug information that would be useful to him. Now, I know some of you see badges like this and you think that this is the death knell of badges in higher ed. If we have badges that look like this, then what are our badges going to mean for anything? If anyone can give a badge just for saying thank you, what does it mean for the badge like the UW Stout badge, which is given for a course? And 4 weeks of rigor, or what if it were 4 years of rigor, a badge given for graduating from your institution? My thinking is that we shouldn't worry about the riffraff badges. And by the way, I'm not calling Doug's badge a riffraff badge. I love it. But I'm saying that some people may be worried about badges that are simply used for a one-to-one interaction. But we get these in our inbox all the time, right? You may have already won a diploma. Just click here and pay $79 and you'll earn it. But diplomas that were issued that way, if it matters to someone that you have a diploma at all, it will matter for them to get to the bottom of where it came from. So I'm not worried about silly badges or fake badges any more than I am about fake or silly diplomas. I am more excited about the fact that we have a lot more choice and a lot more options, and we don't have to wait 4 years to get a thank you in the form of something we can frame and put on the wall. So if you walk around with a badge that says that, you'll take it with a grain of salt. And by the way, the other thing we should do is not take ourselves too seriously with the badges that we give out. I've seen this in the higher ed world. Very well-meaning. I was at a conference this summer with an institution I respect immensely. It was my first time going to their conference, and so they gave me the little first-time attendee sticker to put on the bottom of my badge. And I know it was extremely well-meaning because they wanted others to be able to treat me really specially, like welcome. This is your first time. Can I show you around? What would you like to know about how we operate here? But I actually was kind of embarrassed because I couldn't believe I'd been in the e-learning world for, I don't know, 15 some odd years, and their conference had been going on longer than that, and I had never been to their conference before. So I was kind of embarrassed, and I chose not to wear my first-time attendee badge, my newbie badge. I kept it in my pocket for my talk on badges when I took it out and said, here's an example of badges that some people don't want to wear sometimes. And that's perfectly fine, and we shouldn't be offended by it. Ultimately, and Kyle Bowen, who spoke this morning, had an influential conversation with me. He's from Purdue, as I mentioned earlier, in which he said to me, you know, what's this with you talking about some badges can be shared with the world at large and others can't be shared, and why should the institution get to make that decision? And I actually think that's a really interesting point. Why should... I feel like if there's something worth giving, you should probably allow the earner the decision to decide whether to show it or not. You've made the value judgment that you think it's worth recognizing. Let the other person on the receiving end decide if it's worthwhile to them. Don't be offended if they choose not to show it off at this moment in their life. It's like having a stamp album and moving your stamps around and having certain pages for certain themes that you can see the connection between certain stamps. And then later you pull them out and you recurate them and you tell a different story with the stamp. Sometimes the stamp that you thought was the lonely oddball out actually begins to have some meaning. Self-determination theory is something somebody drew my attention to, and I think it fits very nicely in terms of why I'm excited about badges, and especially in the world of higher ed, and has to do with ensuring that people have a choice, that they know that they've mastered something and have an opportunity to master it, and that they're part of something bigger than themselves, a community. And badges actually touch on all three of those things. Choice, though, is the thing I wanted to sort of segue to as I want to save some time for your texting questions that are still coming in here. I should have taken the PIN code off my phone so I wouldn't have to type it every time. Here's a question. How would you compare these badges to LinkedIn endorsements? Ed wants to know. Where's Ed? I'm sort of defeating the anonymity of text messaging during a presentation by asking Ed to stand up. But it's okay. It doesn't matter where Ed is. I can just sort of look around. But it's a great question. I think one of the things that endorsements are missing is any evidence. I know who to go to if I want the evidence, but that's sort of a lot of work to track somebody down. It's nice to know somebody took the time to hit a button at the top of the screen that said, can you go ahead and, does so-and-so have these 10 skills and I can click one button? But I'm not so sure that that is as valuable at the end of the day as a more personalized reference, a link to some evidence, and the notion that somebody actually was willing to step forward and put themselves on the line. No wonder why Ed didn't raise his hand. It's because he's over there in Chicago. Hi, Ed. Okay. Sorry about that. I shouldn't have assumed you were in the room. How common is it for instructors to publicly display earned badges? How common is it for instructors to publicly display earned badges? I assume you mean the badges that they've earned, because it could also be of the ones that their students have earned. And I'm actually starting to see cases of both places, where an institution, an instructor, is actually showcasing the people in their institution that have earned badges. How common is it? Badges are still not very common at all. So I'm not sure that I'd have to limit the discussion just to those who are doing badging. And I would say that at this point, I'm largely seeing people who are doing the earning being the ones who are showcasing their badges. Here's another quick example of us not taking ourselves too seriously, or at least overthinking our role in the badging equation. How many of you would like to have this badge? This is the probation badge. Some of you might like to wear it versus having somebody wear it interacting with you. But what about wearing a badge that says probation? This is the New York City Department of Probation. They've been opening up what are called neighborhood opportunity networks around New York. And they're trying to reinvent what it means for young people to get out of the probation system and not have it be the kind of thing where you spend 8-10 hours in line taking a subway somewhere to have your name called out in a very inhumane way, only to be sent back into the same world that that got you wherever you are. What if we can turn it around and actually teach people some important skills that get them out of the system and not encourage them to find their way back? And it's really exciting to work with a group that's thinking about reinventing old ways of doing things and sort of doing it better. But one of the things that we didn't have to say this twice to is, you know, I want to give badges for things like kids who are taking an effort to learn about how to get into a college or to get a job or picking up digital literacy skills or learning Google Docs or Microsoft Word or whatever it is that will make them more marketable for school and employment. But I don't necessarily want my badge to say it was issued by the Department of Probation. And they recognize that because that's a Scarlet A. It's not the kind of... So you might like the skill that you're being certified in, but you might not like the issuer, at least at that moment in your life. There may be a time when they actually do want to recognize the journey they took. So just because you give it doesn't mean people are going to like it. And I think that's really important for us to recognize that ultimately it's about choice. So with the first time attendee badge, I loved the issuer, but I didn't love the badge. And that was just me. And then there are times when you love the badge, but you don't necessarily love the issuer. And we should leave those choices up to people like the self-directed probation program. One quick note about this program, it's connected with the Hive Network, which is sponsored and funded by the Mozilla Foundation and by the MacArthur Foundation. And it's a network of cultural institutions in New York and also one in Chicago that's really meant to break down walls between how and where people learn. And one of the things that we're doing is bringing the Hive Network to the Department of Probation so that learners who come into the Department of Probation system can look for learning opportunities and earn badges as they interact in meaningful ways with programs at whether it be the New York Public Library or the Cooper Hewitt National Design Museum or the YMCA and be able to use the learning experiences to actually get time off of probation. We call it self-directed probation. So you get a badge for checking in and meeting with your probation officer. They actually reward that badge with a MetroPass, a subway card, so that you don't have to have paid for your ride. And then the next badge you get might be going to a group that's, let's say, painting community murals. And you take part, you check in with the mobile app, you let them know that you're there, you take a photo of the work you're doing, it gets validated by one of the community folks who run the program. Let's say it's called the Muralist Badge. Then the Muralist Badge shows up on your Facebook page. And guess what? It didn't say Department of Probation. But it gets you 5 hours off your probationary period because you went and did some community service and reflected on it with your probation officer. And then you can go share that on your WordPress blog and say, these are my recreational credentials, my Muralist Badge. Not that I was a bad kid or did something wrong. So we're not branding kids for life. I really think a lot about badges is about giving people choices. And I don't know how many of you have ever wanted to do this with your own transcript, but that to me is what choice is about. And we should be doing that with all the different learning experiences that we collect. A couple of very quick examples. Yale University has a two-year program to credential people in professional development around emotional and social learning, social and emotional learning. And one of the things to think about when you hear these quick examples I'm pointing out is that just because something has a badge doesn't mean you have to give up on assessment. Just because it is a badge doesn't mean that the vigor or the rigor of the activity that went into it needs to be any less. It can be a smaller dose of it. It can be over a shorter period of time. But it doesn't mean that you have to give out badges that are anything less than what you value. The Yale folks, as I mentioned, a social and emotional literacy program. And they give individual badges that break up the two-year process because that's a long time to go before you get recognized as someone who knows how to convert a school or a classroom into a socially and emotionally literate environment. And so they break it down into different skills, different teaching methods, and you're actually bringing back classroom evidence that you've been executing these new skills in your own classroom, and then it's being reviewed by the team at Yale that developed the curriculum. And there's discussion boards and community and some of those fun ways of triggering badges that keep people engaged, the sort of siloed badges as well. And so there you have it. You get some badges. Another interesting one is a group that has made their business over the last 75 or so years making the examinations that professionals take to credential or re-up their credentials, whether it be the National Restaurant Association or the American Society of Anesthesiologists. I'm just making up names now. I don't actually know which ones they credentialed. No, I do. Those are some examples. But they're also trying to help professionals in those fields take smaller exams that aren't necessarily something you take every 2 or 3 years and break those down. But they want it to be validated. And so ProExam is developing exams, smaller nuggets of exams that have the same rigor. They're even doing online proctoring for some of the higher stakes ones where they're using a technology that makes sure that you're by yourself and that you're all of the proctoring standards are met even though you're on your own. And then the assessment takes place and your badge is awarded, in this case a badge on, let's say, time management skills. So the rigor is still there, but the badge exists where it didn't before to indicate skills in a particular discipline. The project runway. So this is actually designed, I think these badges help address an old problem, which is trust issues about somebody saying the endorsements that I was asked about via text message a moment ago. How do we actually believe what was shared with us? But more importantly, I think it's an opportunity not just to verify, but to actually surface the evidence and inspire people. Because what if you could see all of the fashion examples that were given in furtherance of a fashion badge and not just the fact that somebody got a badge? What if you could scroll through the people that you admire and see what evidence they're producing towards the achievements that they're making? My goodness, they're all coming in. Here's another question. Do you graduate students like badges as much as undergrads? I'm gonna turn that one back to the online audience and ask our moderator of the online audience to see what the response to that one is. Actually, we've been surprised to find that adults and grad students are just as likely in our informal anecdotal experience to appreciate a well-deserved badge. I think one thing you don't want to do it, and maybe you've experienced this, where someone gave you an award or a trophy or certificate you did not deserve and you knew it. If you're giving recognition for achievement, and it's real achievement, people should be happy and delighted to receive it, no matter how old they are, what grade they're in. If you're giving out meaningless credentials, then people will call into question not only every future thing you give to them, but everything that you decide to acknowledge among the people around you. And nobody wants to be seen as part of a system that's easily gamed. So you should be, make sure you give out badges you yourself would be happy to have received. By the way, this is the EDUCAUSE badge for being a presenter. One of you already gave me one. Thank you. That was very nice. I could say on my LinkedIn page that I got a standing ovation at ELI 2013. But it would be much nicer to actually take a look at a system. Here's my Facebook claim that I got a standing ovation at ELI 2013. But if I could click through that badge, and many of you have already claimed and posted and shared your ELI badges, what's really nice and different about the claim is the ability to actually link to the badge itself, to scroll down and actually see the evidence. Here, for example, I noticed last night that my session presentation was updated to include a link to the online recording of the session. So I'm now talking. If I'm blowing your mind in time machine speak, because this all didn't happen yet, that's okay. I'm kind of confused myself right now. But there it is. I can actually view a recording of my ELI 2013 featured session, and I can click on it. And that's one of the great things about badges, is it's connected to the evidence. So here's the evidence, for example, of my talk. There you go. You guys are dressed a little differently. I didn't get that. Oh, that was supposed to be a segue to my Sean Connery imitation, but I'm not gonna do that. So what I would like to do is say that I think that one of the most exciting things is the ability to. I've said a lot of things are exciting today, and you can tell that I'm very excited about badges. But one of the really fun things that we haven't yet even begun to notice with badges is what happens when we can actually surface and discover the people with the skills, with the evidence produced in furtherance of the achievements that they have made. What about when we can start to find those people and bring them into teams and acknowledge the efforts that they've made? It's one of the things that I hope that we'll begin to see with the EDUCAUSE badges, that they extend beyond this meeting, but start to tell a much bigger picture. It's very hard to see the role of a badge in your own life when you may only have one or two in this new open badging world. But if you can fast forward a few months, even a year, and begin to think about how you might curate the story of your life in a way that would actually impact how other people respect you and what you can bring to the table, as well as the students in your own life, I think we can start to take better advantage of what each of us is bringing to the table. So I'm excited about that. And with the time I have, which is a few minutes, I believe, I would love to take a few questions, if there are any. There are some here, so if I don't see hands and microphones, I will turn to the text coming in to 484-648-0896. I got another badge from one of you. That was very nice. I got a badge for being too silly, apparently. No, it was put nicely. Politicians elected representatives with badges with evidence for achievements. Ah, that's an interesting idea. What about turning badges around and actually certifying, having crowdsourcing the achievements of our elected officials? And other ideas, questions, thoughts? Okay. Oh, there's one back there. Yes, please. Oh, we'll hold on, Jude. One second. Yep. So the question is, how does the cycle start? How do you get started giving a badge? I've earned one here at ELI, but how do I give one? Well, right now, with the badge you've earned with ELI, and I guess this is my chance to say, if you wanted to begin, you could certainly go right back to Credly, where you earned your badge, and you can go right on the homepage and start giving a badge. You can do it as an individual or as an organization, and that's one way to start. You can also go, for example, to the Open Badges website and see what it's like to learn and accept another badge. But one of the things that we're trying to do with Credly is make it free and open for anyone who has something they want to acknowledge to do so, to do it easily. And also, we've got a whole set of APIs, hooks into your existing system, so anything that you do could actually turn into a badge issuing moment. That's the world that I'm excited about, is where it becomes very seamless, where achievements are recognized without us having to do a great amount of work. Good question. Jude.
Also, and I'll also say, I know I've spoken with some of the folks who are doing the major LMS sort of development, and I think there's a group of people who are thinking about integrating the Open API ecosystem as part of most of the major LMSs at this point. So whether that will go anywhere or not, that's something that's on most of their time horizons, whatever your LMS might be. Like, I know there's a Moodle one coming. I know D2L, which is what we have, it's on their roadmap. So I guess one thing that I wanted to kind of toss out there as an idea that I hadn't thought of before about badging is the idea that, inspired by some of the things you said, that maybe we might even be able to use kind of, so when we think about particularly moving into these, into online spaces increasingly, and the MOOCs, and God forbid any of us should say that word ever again after this session, but as we think about that, I think one of the questions that I have very consistently with my faculty is, how do we sort of like create the kind of learning ecosystem that we care about, right? Like, how do we get students engaged, not in the learning activities themselves, but in the learning culture that we're sort of trying to promote? And it seems like at the intersection of sort of the ideas of gamification and badging and some of the ways you've been talking about things, there might be ways to actually kind of crowdsource and incentivize the culture of online learning where students might be sort of, you would be able to curate that and sort of say, well, hey, these are the things I value. You know, good posts in discussion board, good responses to posts in discussion board, good sense of humor, you know, sort of drawing your peers out, answering your peers' questions, whatever those things are that you as an instructor care about. And you might be able to create a badge ecosystem where the students themselves are giving this to each other and somehow rewarding that in a co-curricular kind of way, like extra credit, whatever it is. And I have not thought of that. And I thought, when I think about the hooks back to my faculty and the problems they're bringing to me, those kinds of things are where it seems to sort of get some traction in higher ed.
Yeah, thank you for that. I actually think this is what I was referring to, but you stated so much better when I said that it's a chance to reinvent how we're doing our instruction. We've had a few of these moments in the last many years to reinvent our courses when we brought them online, and then we reinvented them when we started adding synchronous tools, and then now we're reinventing them again as we think about what kind of outcomes can emerge from the course. And if this is now an opportunity to better engage those in our course with the construction of the experience and helping determine what's valuable, I think that's a great outcome. It's one of the many side benefits of thinking about what could otherwise be easily dismissed as a sticker club. So, great. Well, I'll invite you. My colleague Denise and I are hanging out at the booth, the EDUCAUSE information booth in the main area, just talking badges with people and credentials and what it means, and also eager to help you figure out, if you need help, what to do with the badges you may have already won here at ELI, but also to talk with us about what they would mean for your professional career. What would you like to see EDUCAUSE do with badges that would actually be very meaningful? So all in any of those conversations, or if you want to come and issue your first badge, come find us. And thank you. I'm glad to have been here. Rework the video. That didn't quite match the video I showed earlier, so we'll work on that next time.